every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, we've just been talking once again about this juvenile crime rate, the numbers of stolen cars. We tend to look at that 782 for the year to be absolutely ridiculous, and it is. But then you've got the June to June figures were actually even higher, still up in the 900s. And, of course, we're headed for a figure well over 1,000 for the calendar year this year. Just outrageous. But it's not just us. It's the whole of Queensland, apparently, even though we're worst off per capita. So there's a lot of figures that are coming out now suggesting we've got an absolute nightmare on our hands compared with other states. It does say here, this is a lady in the Courier Mail today, just saying how awful it is knowing someone came into my house while we were asleep. You feel violated. Your home should be where you feel safe. But she said this, this is a victim in Brisbane, even though her car was impounded 24 hours after it was stolen, it took 5 weeks between the insurance company and the assessors for the car to be returned. So the police had rounded it up 24 hours after it was pinched, another 5 weeks before they could see it again and use it again. Unbelievable. It goes on to say this, the study of these stolen cars, this explosion in stolen cars in Queensland, it says Brisbane now is Australia's most dangerous city for motor vehicle theft, 3623 crimes reported. Cairns is still right up there, 936, that's June to June, remember. But it goes on to say this, as the leading city for motor vehicle theft, this is Brisbane with, I don't know, a couple of million or whatever we've got. What about Sydney with over 5 million and Melbourne? Anyway, as the leading city for motor vehicle theft, Brisbane also topped the crime list for thefts from a motor vehicle, more than 7,400 crimes reported. And this lady who's the victim said she's surprised to hear Brisbane had topped the list because it's a smaller city compared to Sydney and Melbourne, much smaller. We've got an absolute nightmare on our hands, not just in Cairns, but in Queensland, and we've got political representatives with their head in the sand. Anyway, it's I want to get to this particular article, Cairns Post Saturday. Here it is. At last, we've got one of our local government representatives saying, "Listen, enough's enough. Enough is enough. We've got a nightmare in hands." Anyway, it says here, this is Yashi Sharma in the Cairns Post on Saturday. Far North leaders are begging for the state government to listen to people living with worsening crime levels. The appeal comes after an FNQ petition signed by 6,000 people asking for reform was rejected by the Minister for Children and Youth Justice, Leanne Linnard, last week. Her response was criticised by Perry Conti, the organiser of the petition, who labelled the minister's response as, quote, stock standard, spruiking statistics at odds with lived with experiences in the far north. Now, Division 1 Cairns Regional Councillor Brett Moller has relentlessly argued for the state to step up to combat juvenile crimes and said the state could not hide behind the interpretation of statistics. This is what Brett Moller said, quote, "The state government needs to listen to grassroots feedback from communities and councillors and work with stakeholders to provide necessary investment," unquote. Now, Brett Moller said there had been surging juvenile crime rates in his southern division, particularly Gordonvale, where residents and police were seeing a significant increase in antisocial behaviour and crimes being committed. Brett said this, quote, "Elderly people are fearing being in their homes. Acts are becoming more brazen. They're not waiting for night, but in the daytime too, any time of day." In the short term, Councillor Moller said there needed to be an increase in resourcing and ensuring sufficient investments were going back into police so they could actively patrol as a preventive measure. He said, quote, "What we're seeing in the CBD and the feedback from added police patrols is that businesses are seeing an improvement." Well, a couple of mentions came through that late last week. Now, I don't know to what extent, and this is very short term, because if there has been an improvement, it's only been in the last couple of weeks. And I've asked other people, and they hadn't over the weekend, and they had not noticed this so-called improvement. So let's just not get too excited about that. Anyway, I put a call through to Brett because he's actually spoken out about an issue we've been hoping our local government representatives would speak about for a long time. He's on the line, Division One's Brett Muller. Good on you, Brett.
Yeah, g'day, John. Good morning, listeners.
I'm glad you picked up the baton on this because we have got to get more of our local leaders speaking about this because it's an emergency in our midst.
Well, John, you know, I've got an old saying, you know, with the right to represent people comes responsibility, and with responsibility comes accountability. Mm. And when you've got your grassroots feedback, and I talked to you recently about the spate of crime in Gordimer, where a community crime meeting, you know, it was called in a couple of days because the community had just had enough. Mm. And I was invited to attend with the local sergeant. He attended. I mean, that's what you do, isn't it? You go and listen to your constituents. Mm. Now, I'm a local councillor. I know my other councillors. We get contacted over this juvenile crime, over the statistics, you know, and that's what I said. Don't hide behind statistics. You can make statistics work whatever way you want. Mm. And the minister took one option, but you know, the police statistics were 161% increase over 3 years in stolen vehicles in the Cairns Regional Council area. So, you know, let's not hide behind it, but just listen. Just listen to what people are saying. Mm. And I mentioned in that straw poll, I think 35 people odd turned up at the Gordimer meeting. I asked how many people had been victims of crime. I think there were 10 or 11. I asked how many were repeat victims of crime, and nine kept their hand up. So they've been broken into more than once. Mm. They've had stuff stolen, and, you know, it is frustrating. And we've talked about what we're doing as a council, but we're not in the realm of that legislation where we can police. So all I can do is just, you know, keep lobbying our state members to listen. Mm. And, John, clearly, you know, the purpose of sentencing is it's either deterrence, rehabilitation. You've got to protect the public. There's got to be some retribution, or there's got to be a denunciation of that pitiful behaviour. Well, if it's true that 80% of this crime is being committed by 20% of recidivist offenders, people yes. who are repeat offenders,
yes.
clearly, and that's what I said in the longer term, you've got to look at this Youth Justice Act, because these young offenders aren't being made accountable. Mm. They're certainly not being rehabilitated. Mm. The you know, the community's not being protected. Mm. So your sentencing principles are failing. And to me, as a government responsible for that, you can't allow that to happen. You've got to have it reviewed and addressed.
Mm. Brett, there's another matter emerging too, and that is the physical threat to people fundamentally just going about their business. I was having a coffee on Saturday, and the waitress said, "You won't believe what happened to me." Not just the week gone, but the week before that, in the CBD at night at the bus depot there in Lake Street. And she was waiting with a girlfriend and a young boy as well, and they were probably in their late teens, early 20s or whatever, and these kids came through about 16, 15, 16, maybe 17, demanding money. So when she's got a phone out to call the police, the phone has been smashed on the ground by one that looked maybe 15 or 16.
Yeah.
She then has screamed, and there's been a tussle started with the boy that was with her. And then out came, out of the pocket of one of these three attackers, not a knife, but a screwdriver. These are kids 16 and 17 now carrying weapons. Now, this is becoming, you go back only, what, 3 or 4, 5 years, and someone that was out on Mulgrave Road, someone pulled a knife to hold up a Philip because he had a carton of beer or something, and it was a kid, and everyone said, "My God, carrying a knife." It's now de rigueur to carry a weapon with you, even when you're almost virtually underage. These are 15, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds carrying weapons. We've got an emergency on our hands, not just with our stolen cars, but with our physical safety when we walk our streets.
Look, John, and I know the police are very concerned about this, and there's been a public awareness. We saw the murder of a young teenager down on the Gold Coast because there was a little bit of a fracas, and unfortunately, someone pulled out a knife and stabbed the other young teenager who died. Yeah. And the youth the young people seem so desensitized to violence, desensitized to people's property rights, and desensitized just to a common caring for their fellow persons. Particularly, as I said in the article, you know, our elderly people, John, you know, they're vulnerable and they're being broken into in their home, frightened. You know, it's just so brazen. And really, I keep beating the drum and delivering messages to the state. We get a bit of a fracture. You're part of a talk fest. You're not doing enough. And I just say, look, we can only do what we can within the ambit of the legislation. You know, we're not responsible for policing, but we certainly can advocate for the community.
Exactly.
And that community feedback is loud, John.
Yes.
I don't understand why, particularly the minister. I think that really backfired on her because the people in Cairns just said that's rubbish. Come and listen to our story, and come and walk the street and see what's happening. You know.
So out of touch, it was embarrassing, just dreadful. Brett, you're to be congratulated, speaking out. Thank you.
Righto, John, thank you.
He's the Division 1 Councillor, Cairns Council, Brett Moller.